Good morning. Welcome back. Good to see you all. Today's topic is Bechiras Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choosing Klal Yisrael. It is said that Rav Huttner once said, or perhaps many times said, that the most important issue, the most important topic to stress in chinuch for our generation, of course that was quite a while ago, but nevertheless, for when he was talking, is the concept of Bechiras Yisrael. That this idea, the Bechira of Klal Yisrael, what it means, why it's so, how it expresses itself, is a topic which is extremely important to understand and to teach. And in fact, it is one of the topics that I think bothers many, many people in the modern world who understand, who see, who perceive the concept of Bechiras Yisrael as troubling. So today, Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to try to understand it and analyze it a little. The idea of Bechiras Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu choosing Klal Yisrael, is clearly one which repeats itself again and again in Tanakh and Chazal. Psukim frequently stress Vayisem Liskulam Yikol Amim. The Psukim in Tefillah we say again and again, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim. And the first question we have to consider is why. What is it, why is it that we were chosen? So let's begin by considering the first moment, as it were, of Bechiras Yisrael, the Bechira of Avram Avinu. And here we note a very, very interesting distinction between the Bechira of Noach and the Bechira of Avram Avinu. At the beginning of Parshas Noach, the Psukim say, L'toldos Noach, Noach ish tzadik, tamim haya b'dor osav, es Elokim ishaleach Noach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Noach, selects him among all the people of the world to be the person who's going to be saved from the flood, and the Pasuk tells us exactly why he's chosen. He was a tzadik, tamim haya b'dor osav. He was the best person in the world, and thus it was appropriate that he be saved. At the beginning of the next Parsha, we also have the Bechira of someone, this time Avram Avinu. However, here, the Torah tells us nothing about why HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected Avram. Vayomar Hashem al Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetecha mibeis avicha l'artz asher aveka. Go! V'ascha l'goy gadol, v'avarechecha v'agadla shemecha v'yei bracha, etc., etc. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avram Avinu that he's going to make him into a great nation, etc., without the Torah telling us why Avram, among all people, were chosen. It's the exact opposite of Noach. Noach, we know why he's selected. Avram, we do not. The Rishonim already pick up on this distinction. The Ramban suggests that it might have to do with the fact that the Torah wishes to hide the early history of Avram, which was involved in idolatry. It would have been a pagam to Avram. And surely, as we read on in the story of Avram, we know that, in fact, we learn all about his greatness, but the original reason for selection is not given. And the Maral explains that the reason for this is because there's a basic distinction between the selection of Avram versus the selection of Noach. When it comes to the selection of Avram, so Avram was chosen to found a nation, to be the beginning of something that was much bigger than himself. Whereas Noach was simply someone who was saved. He deserved to be saved, so he was saved. But he didn't become anything greater. And thus, the Torah has no problem telling us the reason for the chosenness of Noach, because it was limited to himself, and therefore it was limited to the reason for his selection. When it comes to Avram Avinu was going to be the founder of Klal Yisrael. As the Ramban says, perhaps Tosus disagrees, the end of Emor, that he was the first Jew. He was the beginning of Klal Yisrael. And as such, because he was the beginning of Klal Yisrael, it's important for the Torah to indicate to us that his chosenness, his selection, is not simply based on a reason. And so the Torah hides the reason, either to imply there is no reason, or if there is a reason, it's not something that we should know about or think about, or at the very least, the Maharal says, that the chosenness, his selection, goes beyond any possible reason. And the Maharal points out that there are many psukim that support this idea. The pasuk from Nehemiah that we say every day in davening, Atahu Hashem Elokim Asher Bacharta Be'Avram, which is a chronological order. You, Hashem, chose Avram, Votse Somi Or Kastim, Visamtashmar Avraham, and then eventually, Umatzasas Levavo Neman Lefanecha. You first chose him, you found him, you made him into the nation, and then Matzasas Levavo Neman Lefanecha. And so, when we look at the Torah Shebichtav, the impression that we get is that Avram Avinu was not chosen for any particular reason. Or, again, if there was a reason, it's not something that we should know about or could know about it. And only later do we discover that indeed he is, of course, the greatest person ever to live. Of course, when we look at Chazal, we get a very, very different impression. There are many midrashim, how well before HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever spoke to Avram Avinu, he was Moser Nefesh in Or Kasdim, to be thrown into the furnace, he had already gathered a great following. The Rambam expresses this very powerfully at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perak Aleph Halacha Gimel, Kevan Shenigmal Eitan Zeh Hischil Eshotet Bedato V'Hukatan V'Hischil Lachshov B'Yom U'Valayla, that Avram Avinu, even at a young age, began to ask questions. And though the Rambam stresses that initially he was actually Oved Avodah Zarah, but nevertheless, from a very young age, he asked questions. He became a great philosopher. And whether or not you take the approach that Avram was 3 years old or 40 years old, but when you look at Chazal, you look at the Midrashim, you look at the Rishonim, the impression that you get is quite different from that which you get from the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Here, we're told all about the reason for Avram Avinu's selection, why he was chosen, and how indeed, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever spoke to him, he was greater than any person ever to live. This distinction between the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaalpeh, we see throughout the Torah, I think, even throughout Tanakh. Just to give one other example, though there are many more, the Psukim in Parshas Veschanan also tell us about the reason for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choosing us. Ki Am Kadosh Ata l'Hashem Elokecha b'cha b'char Hashem Elokecha li'os lo l'am segula mikol ha'mim asher al p'nei adama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen you to be his treasure nation. And now the pasuk is going to tell us why, but it doesn't tell us why. It tells us the reasons why that are wrong, but it doesn't actually tell us the reasons that are right. Lo merubchem mikol ha'mim chashak Hashem b'chem v'yivchar b'chem ki atem ha'me'at mikol ha'mim. It's not because of your multitudes that God shows you. No, you're small. Ki me'avas Hashem eschem u'mishamroes hashvua asher nishba lavoseichem hotzi Hashem eschem biyad chazaka. So the pasuk doesn't tell us why Klal Yisrael as a nation was chosen. It tells us the reason why they. It's not because merubchem, but it doesn't tell us in a positive sense why. But for example, if you look in Chazal, the Gemara in Chulin Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph says, Amar Lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Lo Merubchem Chashak Hashem Bachem, Amar Lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael Choshkani Bachem Shafilu B'Shah Sh'ani Mashpia Lachem Gedula Atem Mimatim Atzmechem Lefanai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, why did I choose you? Because of your humility. Even when I give you greatness, you express humility. So I gave Gdula to Avram, and he said, Anochi v'afar v'efer. I gave Gdula to Moshe and Aaron, and they said, V'nachnuma. I gave Gdula to David, and he said, V'anochi tolas v'lo ish. And when it comes to Ovdei Kochavim, the opposite is the case. I gave Gdula to Nimrod, and he said, Hava nivne lanu ir. I gave Gdula to Paro, and to Sancheirev, and they deified themselves. They took all the credit for themselves, and so on and so forth. So here we have a pasuk, and we have the exact same trend. The psukim al pi pshuto don't tell us the reason why Klal Yisrael were chosen. It certainly doesn't tell us that Klal Yisrael was chosen because of something that they did. Perhaps it relates to the avos, but not because of something that they did. And then we have Chazal, who in those very psukim that say, Lo merubchem chashak Hashem lachem, Chazal understand the reason for the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is chosen because of their humility, because they're mematanis atzman. And the question is, how do we understand this? There are other examples, but we're going to try to be more bekitzer today. So, whenever you have examples such as this, where there's a contradiction, or at least an implied contradiction, between the Tarsha Bechsav and the Tarsha Baal Peh, here the implied contradiction is that from the Tarsha Bechsav there isn't a reason for Avram's chosenness, or at least it's a hidden reason, and from the Tarsha Baal Peh there is a reason, and so too with the Bechira of Klal Yisrael. So clearly the Tarsha Baal Peh and the Tarsha Bechsav are presenting two different angles, each one of which on their own is incomplete, and one has to look together to get a broader perspective. And what are these two perspectives? So I think the answer is that we see two perspectives, a dichotomy, a duality, both of which are true, and both of which are true simultaneously within the Bechira of Klal Yisrael. And that is, one component of the Bechira of Klal Yisrael reflects God's inscrutable will, something which we don't understand, which goes beyond reason. Not to say there isn't a reason, but it's something that is beyond reason as well, something which we can't understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell us the reason. That's reflected in the Tarsha Bechsav, in Lech Lecha, where Hashem doesn't tell us why he chose Avram, in Lo Mirubchem. That is one component. We're chosen, and if you ask, why were the Jewish people chosen? Are they special? Are they different? Did they do something? Did they deserve it? The answer is, there's some component that goes beyond reason. It's mysterious. It's inscrutable. Or at the very least, it's not a reason we should pursue. And at the same time, and also true, there's another component. And that is, of course, we were chosen because there is a reason. Avram Avinu was, of course, the greatest person ever to live before HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him for the first time. Yes, he had already been Moser Nefesh. Yes, he had independently discovered God. Klal Yisrael, Armimaitinis Atzman. And thus, we have this dichotomy, this duality in a nature of chosenness. And the truth is that you also see the Tarsha Bechsav and Tarsha Baal Peh sometimes taking almost the reverse perspectives, right? When the Jewish people chose HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, they said Nasa V'Nishma, and Chazal, on one understanding, said Kaf Alein Har Kegigis. There we have the reverse. Did they take the initiative, or was it forced upon them? Of course, there are many understandings of what that means, but there too you see a reflection of these two perspectives. And I believe that this dichotomy reflects itself in many, many ways whenever we consider this topic. Let's take a further example of how this actually reflects itself. We know that in Tanakh and in Chazal, many metaphors are used to depict the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps one of the most powerful is that we are banim lamakom, banim atam l'Hashem Elokeichem, b'ni b'chori Yisrael. We are banim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another is that we are the spouse of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a spousal relationship. Ki bo'alayach osayach Hashem tzvako shemo, Yeshayahu says. The Sefer, the Megillah of Shir HaShirim, is entirely intended to depict that relationship, that we are married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're lovers, we're spouses. What is the difference between these two metaphors? How do they differ from each other, and what does each one imply? The most basic difference is that a person does not choose their children. And when they love their children not for anything that their children did. It's not based on a rational reason. A person loves their children from the moment they're born, even from before they're born. There's nothing that the child does to deserve the love of his parents. It's not because of any excellency that they demonstrate, but it's an inherent love. It's a love that goes beyond reason. according to what we're saying. This is a reflection of the inscrutable component of Bechiras Kal Yisrael, the notion that goes beyond reason. The spousal relationship, of course, is different. Of course, a husband and wife should have Ava She'ena Tulia B'davar. It shouldn't be based on reason. But of course, when one chooses a spouse, they choose a spouse based on certain attributes that they see in them. A shared commitment, a goal, a contract, certain values, certain qualities that they see in a spouse. That's what they're looking for. And that reflects the other component of Bechiras Yisrael, that we were chosen because of what we did and what we deserved, and our special qualities and our special characteristics. The Gemara itself picks up on this distinction. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Remeir, but Remeir says that we're banim whether or not we act as we're supposed to. The Gemara says, banim atem l'shem alokeichem, bizman she'atem noagim minag banim, atem kriyim banim, ein atem noagim minag banim, ein atem kriyim banim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're only banim if we act as children. But Remeir disagrees. Remeir says, bein kach uvein kach atem kriyim banim. You're children no matter what you do. A child cannot be separated from his parents. A spousal relationship could be ended. There's such a concept as divorce, because if it's based on a reason, then it could be ended based on a reason. Like the Maharal said about the Bechira of Avram Avinu. Because Avram Avinu, because Klal Yisrael were chosen to become a nation, and that nation was going to be involved in an eternal bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it couldn't be limited to reasons, because reasons could always end. They could be terminated. They could be severed. It's precisely because there is no reason that it could be eternal. It could be guaranteed. It could be a bris olam. And thus, Remeir says the same thing. And how does he know it? From many psukim. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, banim sichlim hema. The pasuk in Dvarim says, banim lo emun ban. The pasuk in Yishayahu says, zeremereim banim mashchisim. We're banim even when we're mashchisim. We're banim even when we're mereim. Even when we rebel, even when we act badly, even when we don't act like children, we're children. Why? Because the nature of the relationship between a parent and a child is one that's forever. Because it's not based on reason, it can't ever be terminated. It's not based on reason, so it can't be severed. And maybe you'll say, okay, but Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So there's a fascinating Tshuva Sarashba, Chelak Aleph Simon Kuf Tzadi Dalid, where the Rashba says, Va'afal Gavdur Meir Rabbi Yehuda Halachak Rabbi Yehuda Hacha Reb Meir Kraka Dayak. We paskin like Reb Meir, even though generally we would paskin like Reb Yehuda against Reb Meir. Reb Meir brings psukim that supports his position, and maybe you'd think that this Gemara in Kiddushin is just an Agadita Gemara about which we don't paskin. Rashba says, no, we paskin, and we paskin like Reb Meir. The parent-child relationship can never be broken. I thought that's perhaps why very frequently, especially in the book of Yeshayahu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comforts Klal Yisrael, he always uses the metaphor of children. Ki'isha sherimo tenachamenu, kein anochi anachemchem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to comfort you like a child, because it's because we're his children that we're guaranteed to always be his children, no matter what we do. Be that as it may, this dichotomy between the parent-child relationship and the spousal bond, between the Bechiras reflected in the Tarsha Bechsav and the Bechiras reflected in the Tarsha Baal Peh, helps us understand what is otherwise a very, very difficult and seeming contradiction within Tanakh about whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu could ever totally sever his relationship with us. Could we ever sin so badly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would get rid of us, would sever the bond? Many psukim imply, of course not. That's certainly our intuition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, I'm going to make a bris olam, eternal. When we look at the Tochacha and Vayikra, after Klal Yisrael sin, but at the end, of course, v'zacharti lahem bris rishonim. And even Be'eretz Oyveihem, lo me'astim v'lo ge'altim l'chalosam l'afer brisi itam. Tshuva is guaranteed. Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo, as the pasuk says in Shmuel. And yet, there are many psukim that imply the opposite, that imply that depending on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we may be totally severed. The Dvarim in Tochecha is a foil to the Dvarim, the Tochecha in Vayikra. In Dvarim, there is no guaranteed shuv at the end. And in fact, though we have the depiction of Banim Ireim and Banim Ashchisim, we also have the depiction of divorce. If you learn Yirmiyahu Paragimel, there's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu seemingly divorcing Klal Yisrael. Lemor, Hein Yishalach Ish Es Ishto V'alcham Eito V'aysel Ish Acher Hayashuvei Leha Od Halo Chanov Techanef Haaretz Ahi V'ad Zanis Reim Rabim V'shuvei Lai Neum Hashem. When a couple is married and the wife is Mizaneh, so she can't come back if she's Mizaneh Beratzon. And yet you, Klal Yisrael, Hashem says, have had many Be'ilos Harbe. You've been Mizaneh so many times. Can you return? Vayra ki al kol odos asher niyafa mishuva Yisrael shelachtia. Vetein es sefer krisu seha. Kadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, gave us a sefer krisus, a divorce bill, a get. We saw the pasuk ki lo yitosh Hashem amo, but the pasuk also says the opposite. Hey Ferbris, Vaimas Hashem b'chol zarei Yisrael. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Ki ma'as Hashem vayitosh es dor av evraso. So how do we understand this? And the answer, I think, is, like we've been saying, that there's this duality in the nature of our bechira. There's two components of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's the spousal component, and there's the parent-child component. The psukim that tell us that it's a bris olam, that no matter what, and no matter what we do, we'll never be abandoned. We might be punished, we might be exiled, we might be hurt, but the bris is guaranteed. That's a reflection of the parent-child bond. The other component, the psukim that imply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can divorce us, is a reflection of the spousal bond. And in fact, when you have this perspective, that there are these two components, it's not a stira, but it's a complex relationship, many things come clear. The Rav once noted that why is it that the Haftarah for Achrei Mos is from Amos? So when you look at Achrei Mos, the pasuk says, "V'lo saki ha'aretz eschem b'tamachem osa kasher ka'a Hashem ka'a es hagay asher lifneichem." Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Look, why did I kick out the Shiva Amamin from Eretz Yisrael? Because they acted badly." And the pasuk implies, "And therefore, you better act good. Otherwise, you will suffer the same fate." And the implication is, to some degree, that we are no different. They got Eretz Yisrael, they sinned, they were thrown out, you're going to get Eretz Yisrael, and like you, could be thrown out. But what happened to them when they were thrown out? And if you learn the Sefer Amos, one of the themes that comes up again and again and again in every parak, Rabbi Karmi was the pointed this out to me first, you see that a central theme is this question of Bechiras Yisrael, and I think here too you see this duality. At the beginning of Amos, we have Koamar Hashem, right, Al Shlosha Pishe, this, Val Arba Lo Ashivenu. So it goes through all the non-Jews, Amon, and Moav, and Edom, Shlosha Pishe, Edom, Val Arba Lo Ashivenu. But then it says the same thing in Perek Beis about Yisrael and Yehuda. Al Shlosha Pishe Yehuda, Val Arba Lo Ashivenu, Al Shlosha Pishe Yisrael, Val Arba Lo Ashivenu. The implication is that we're no different. And Pasuk says that Vanochi Ishmadati Es Amori Mipnechem, right? Just like I destroyed the Amori for Klal Yisrael to give them Eretz Yisrael, well, I'm going to do the same thing to Klal Yisrael. I'm going to throw them out because of their sins. V'anochi aleisi eschem eretz Mitzrayim v'alech eschem b'midbar b'ayim shana l'areshes esamori. But if you do what they did, you'll suffer their same fate. And yet, at the same time that Amos implies this equality, he also implies distinction. The famous pasuk in Par Gimel, Rak eschem yadati mikol mishpachos adama al kein efkod aleichem es kol avonoseichem. And here, it's not just Bechir of Kal Yisrael, Yadati Eschem Mikol Mishpachos Adama. Either that means I chose you, I loved you, I knew you more, a high level of Bechira. But it's one of Bechira plus responsibility, right? Al Kein Efkod Aleichem Eskol Avonoseichem. Because I chose you, I gave you this special mission. So therefore, you're subject to a much higher level of judgment, because there are higher expectations. The pasuk in Parakeh says, "Nafla lo sosif kum bisulas Yisrael." Klal Yisrael is going to fall; they'll never get up. It implies again they've sinned, and that's it. Lo osif kum. But here too, Chazal flip it. Instead of reading the pasuk, the Gemara Brachos on Daf Dalet, as "Nafla lo sosif kum bisulas Yisrael," that Klal Yisrael has fallen and will never arise again, they teach it differently. Nathla lo tosif, you have fallen, but you'll never again fall. Kum bisulas Yisrael, get up, bisulas Yisrael. In Parakhes, we have the same thing again. Vayomer Hashem Eli, Bahaketz el Ami Yisrael, lo osif od avor lo. Sounds like it's the end. And finally, the climax is in Perek Tes, of course. One of the most jarring psukim in the entire Tanakh. Halo kivnei chushiyim atem li b'nei Yisrael num Hashem. You are like Kushites. Halo es Yisrael aleisi meretz Mitzrayim uflishtim mikaftor v'aram mikir. It sounds like just like I took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, I took the plishtim from kaftor and aram from kir. Hine enei Hashem b'mamlacha chata'a v'shmadeti osam me'al p'nei adama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. But of course, the end of the Sefer is different. Efes, lo hashmed ashmid espes Yaakov num Hashem. But I won't. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises a restoration. Bayom hahu akim esukas David hanofalas. And the Yisod here is like we're saying, that both are true. We're both HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children and we're his spouse. From the component of the spousal relationship, we could be divorced. From the component of our children, the parent-child relationship, you can't divorce your child. Even banim mireyim, even banim ashchisim. And the truth of the matter is, it's even more complex than this, because one could argue that because the parent-child relationship continues to exist, we never could even be divorced, right? Because one component continues to exist, the other one also can't be broken. Rashi reflects that in his Hakdama to Shir HaShirim. Rashi says that that's what the book of Shir HaShirim is all about. Va'omer ani, Shira Shlomo b'ruach HaKodesh, Shasidin Yisrael Agalos, Gola Achar Gola, Churban Achar Churban. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Klal Yisrael would be exiled again and again. Ulis Bonin Begolos, Zal Kvodam Harishon. They would think back and recall their initial relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what is the nature of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Golos? A fascinating mashal. Isha Tzrura Almanos Chayos Mishtokekes Albaila. Right? What does that mean? Fascinating idea. We are like a bound widow who is attached to her deceased husband. There's no halachic analog for something like that. It's based on the psukim in Shmuel, where David HaMelech, after Avshalom had been with his wives, or his pilagshim, so he couldn't return to them, but they were still married because he was the melech. The point is that we're married, but we're an aguna at the same time. Right? We're an aguna while we're married. Almanos chayos mishtokakas albaila. Why is that? What's the pshat? It's because what we said, because we have the parent-child relationship, even the spousal relationship can never be broken. Again, now not time to go into that too much, but that explains the how the Gemara in Pesachim understands the Pesachim at the beginning of Hosea in terms of that very strange type of spousal relationship. That explains the seeming stira between Yeshayahu Perak Nun, which we're not divorced, and Yirmiyahu Perak Gimel, with we are. But I'd like to also show how this distinction manifests itself in halacha as well. We're all learning Yevamos, so we've seen this. On the one hand, the Gemara in Yevamos on Mem Zayin Amud Beis states that once a person is a Jew, if they've converted or if they were born Jewish, they can never lose their halachic Jewishness. They're a Jew forever. You can't convert out. Right? You can't lose your Jewishness. Kiddushav is always Kiddushin. This is also reflected in the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Yisrael afal pishachata Yisrael, who no matter what we sin and how we sin, we're still we retain our shame Yisrael. But at the same time, we also find the opposite idea.
Don't we say
we'll get there. Second. We don't usually. We're not choshish v'shitas ha'gaonim, really. But we'll get there. In halacha, we say fakert. Also, right? Mumer ke'akum l'chol davar. What does that mean? A mumer is ke'akum l'chol davar. Their shechita is invalid. According to some shitos in Rishonim, you could lend a mumer money with ribis. So how do we understand that? It's a stira? Is it Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisraelu, or is it mumer ke'akum l'chol davar? So there are many ways of resolving this. There's the famous Samar Mechalik between Shem Yisrael and Kedushas Yisrael. Ravan Lichtenstein has a beautiful article where he develops such a distinction. He was responding to the famous Brother Daniel incident. In the 50s, there was a Jew who converted to a different religion and wanted to return to Eretz Yisrael based on the law of return. He wanted to get preferred treatment in terms of citizenship. And there was a question, so should he be granted citizenship or not, based on the law of return? Do we say that there's no such thing as losing your Jewishness, and therefore you should be given preferred status, or no? Do we say, as it were, Mumer Ka'akam L'chol Davar? In 1962, the Israeli Supreme Court ruled that he shouldn't be given that preferred status. Since he converted out and doesn't want to be considered Jewish, he can't be considered Jewish, and thus he can live in Israel. In fact, he did move to Israel and he eventually got citizenship, but he wasn't guaranteed the more quick process based on the law of return. So Ron Lichtenstein has an article called Brother Daniel, it's reprinted in Leaves of Faith, where he points out these distinctions and he makes a chiluk between Shem Yisrael and Kedushas Yisrael. Maybe when it comes to matters that are a zchus, so then that could be lost, but things that are dependent upon the legal name, so those can never be lost. Rav Tzadok writes a similar distinction in Takanas HaShavim. There he distinguishes between Shem Yisrael and Shem Yaakov, but along similar lines, one component can't be lost, one component can be lost. There's a very beautiful chida I saw. The chida asks, why is it that it says in Berachos HaShachar, we say Shelo Asani Gai? Why do we say it in a negative? Why don't we say it in a positive? We should say Shasani Yisrael. So he says, no. We make ourselves a Yisrael, so we don't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for making us Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us not a Gai. So everyone could say Shelo Asani Gai. But we have to make ourselves a Shem Yisrael. One way or the other, though, the Yesod is exactly what we've been saying. Just like in Machshava we have this distinction, we have the parent-child relationship and we have the spousal relationship, just like we have that distinction between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, so too you see that in Halacha. On the one hand, in Halacha, reflecting the component of Bechiras Yisrael, which is guaranteed and eternal and unbreakable, you have the concept of Yisrael afal pishachata Yisrael hu. And on the other hand, reflecting the spousal relationship, one which could be broken through divorce, we have we have the other component. We have Mumer Ka'akam L'chol Davar. You brought up Shita Saga'onim. So you're right. It's a machlokes. If you look, for example, at the Tur in Evan Ezer, Simon Mem Dalet, he brings the sheet of the Gaonim, the Bala Itur, Yesh Omrim, Demumer L'chal El Shabbos Befarhesia, the Lavod Avodis Kochavim, Dino Ke'akom, Gamor, Ve'en Kedush of Kiddushin. But the Tur says V'lo Nehira, and again, the Pashtus in the Gemara in Bechoros, Daf Lamed Amid Beis, and Yevamos Mem Zayin Amid Beis, is pretty clearly against it, which is why most Rishonim reject that position. Of course, it's not so simple. There's the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis that talks about the Aseres HaShvatim and implies that they can be lost. Lo Zelzum Misham Ad She'asom Ovdei Kochavim Gemurim implies that at least under certain circumstances it is possible to cause someone to lose their Jewishness. There's a number of very interesting tshuvos of Rashi on this topic. Rashi has a tshuva first about whether Kiddush of Kiddushin for a Mumar. And he says, yes, Kiddush of Kiddushin. He rejects the opinion of the Gaonim. And what's so interesting about the tshuva of Rashi, Simen Kuf Ayin Aleph, is that he invokes the Gemara in Sanhedrin from Daf Mem Dal and Bad Aleph, Yisrael Af Al Pisha Chata Yisrova, which is learned out from Achan. And he doesn't quote the Gemaras that more explicitly deal with this in a halachic context instead in an anagadic context. So he doesn't quote the Gemara in Bechoros or the Gemara in Yevamos. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rashi quotes this again when he talks about chalitza. Rashi that a mumer creates a zeka, needs chalitza. Rashi says that with respect to ribbis, that it's usur. Rashi holds to charge ribbis to a mumer. And again he quotes Yisrael Afal Pishachata Yisrael Ho. Rashi doesn't disagree with the other component. Rashi, for example, in that same Gemara in Bechoros, says, Harehu kiyisrael mumar, v'lo aminan de lehavi ovid kochavim gamur ki lulo nisgayer. But Rashi holds that, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's something that retains and can't be lost. And even though there we shown him that are mefakfek with certain pratim in Rashi, for example, the Mordechai quoted in the Trumas Hadesh and Simon Reish Yotess holds that you don't need chalitza from a mumar, but that's only because of a technicality, not an outright rejection of Rashi Shita, because de b'makom erva kaimi de kanaim pogimbo, and therefore it's b'makom erva, so there's no zeka. But Batsim, he fundamentally agrees with Rashi, and we saw that Rashba. Again, there were those that question this. They're outlier Shitas. The Marashdam is among the most famous, and in Chelak Evan Ha'ezer Simon Yud, he asks, Rashi doesn't make sense. After all, Yisrael Afal Pishachata Yisraelu, but what did Achan do afterward? After all, he did Me'ilah, he didn't become a Meshumid or a Mumar, and even according to Chazal, that he's over Avera Chamura, Chamisha Averas Chamuros, but still, maybe that's only one opinion in Chazal. But for the most part, that position has been rejected. In fact, as I said, Reb Tzadok in Tachanas HaShavim has 30 pages on that Marashdam about how he thinks it makes no sense. Mitzad Machshava, Mitzad Kabbalah, Mitzad Halacha. Reb Moshe has a tshuva on this, and he says, after totally rejecting the Marashdam, he says, Ubarur shu tosh shapalta kulmaso shalagon Marashdam lidchos bezeh sugyas hagemar v'divrei kol haposkim. Some type of his mistake, inadvertently left his pen, but the conclusion is clear. Yeah. Right. Correct. He reinvokes. He brings back the sheet of the Gaonim. Yeah. Yeah, we're machalik between different dinim, but even in the lowest level, meaning to say someone who's Ovid Avodah Zarah, Mumer La'akom, someone who mamish converts to a different religion, even in those lowest levels, we still have the dichotomy. So, there's a lot more pratim I want to bring out, but just to bring this point to a close. If you look at the poem we sing, Yadid Nefesh. So, what do we say? Yadid Nefesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our friend, Av HaRachaman, our merciful Father, Mishoch Avdecha al Ritzonecha, draw your Eved close to you. In that first line of Yadid Nefesh, we have three metaphors used, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's friend, his Eved, and child. You know, the famous piyut that we say in Yom Kippur, where we have so many different metaphors used to depict our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Clearly, the relationship we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one which is very complex. We began to sort of show the dichotomy and the duality within it. It's one which, of course, ultimately, we can't fully understand. It goes, like we said, beyond reason. Just because we can't fully understand something doesn't mean we shouldn't try, and we should try. And that's why it's such an important sugya to understand. But nevertheless, ultimately, it's something which is beyond reason. Now, I'd like to now, if I have time, hopefully, bring out two more points that I think are reflective of this duality in terms of the nature of our Bechira. And specifically, insofar as how we relate to the rest of the world. If you look, I think, in many of the places, almost all of them, and again, I'll show you a couple of examples now, but there are literally dozens of examples I found, and always finding more. In the places where we see a more particularistic perspective on the selection of Klal Yisrael stressed, you at the same time see a universalistic perspective as well. Let's take the classical pasuk, right? Vatem tiyuli mamleches kohanim v'gai kadosh. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes us an am segula mikol hamim. So that's a pasuk focusing that's very particularistic in its nature. You're going to be different. You're going to be a mamleches kohanim. You're going to be an am segula. If you look at many of the mefarshim on that pasuk, they make the opposite point there as well. The Sforno makes this point, Rabbi Avram ben Arambam makes this point, the Pharisee Yisrael, and Perek Gimel of Pirkei Avos makes this point, that what does the Pasuk say when it says you're going to be a Mamleches Kohanim? A Mamleches Kohanim means a kingdom of priests. Well, what's a Kohen without an Am? If you're a Kohen, that implies a responsibility for the rest of the world. If you're a priest, you have to minister to the world. So at the very moment that the Pasuk is focusing on the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael and their distinction, their Mamleches Kohanim, it's also reminding them of the importance of the rest of the world and their responsibility towards them. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein points out how in Aleinu you see this dichotomy very, very powerfully when you compare the first paragraph with the second paragraph. In the first paragraph, the theme is all about right? We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for making us different. He didn't make us like them. Yet at the same time, the second paragraph is all about our longing for a time, at the very least, when it's not just going to be us who serves Klal Yisrael, but the whole world will universally recognize Klal Yisrael. Clearly, great importance is given, right? If only Jews were important and everything else weren't, so then why would it be so important that L'sakein ha'olam b'malchus shakai v'chol b'nei vasar? You see this same dichotomy. And of course, just to, you know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Avram Avinu, so he says, Ve'escha l'goy gadol, v'avarechecha, v'agad l'shemecha, v'yevracha, but also, at the same pasuk, v'nivrechu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama, right? You're going to bring bracha to the whole world, kol mishpachos ha'adama. He says the same thing to Yaakov Avinu. The pasuk says, In Shlomo HaMelech's tefillah for the Beis HaMikdash, you see those both seems, even the famous pasuk that everyone likes to stress, right? Or lagayim. So the pasuk in Yeshayahu Membe says what? Ve'atencha livris am or lagayim. At the same time, the bris is stressed. The or lagayim is stressed, right? Uchvodo alayech yeraeh ve'alchu gayim la'orech. When chvodo alayech yeraeh, the special connection of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the same time, v'halchu gayim la'orech. Now obviously, and we alluded to this when we talked a little bit about in the Mashiach unit, there are different perspectives in different thinkers, in different chazals. One of the great examples you could bring to universalism is the tefillah that we say on Yom Menorah, "Uvechein tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol Yisrael amecha." Right, so we talk about the whole world, right? But if you look, for example, at the Arugas Habosem on that pasuk, which is one of the Rishonim who comment on the Psukim by Rabbi Avram ben Azriel. So what does it mean? He says that that's referring entirely to Jews. It says al kol, right? Right? Goes through and says it's only referring to Klal Yisrael. Shelo kipshuto. So I'm not trying to say, and it's obviously much more complex, but I think the fact that in so many places you see both of these ideas stressed at the same time highlights this idea that we're saying that they both exist, that they both concepts exist simultaneously. One other place where, again, I think you see that the simple sort of distinction that's often made is wrong. Many times when you look at Sfarim, academic books, so they'll present two perspectives, and I think this is overly simplistic and to a large degree wrong, but two approaches to understand the difference between Jews and non-Jews. So one approach, sometimes it's presented as the Kuzari versus the Rambam, one approach talks about how there's an inherent difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, and that approach implies to some degree some type of lower status and denigration of non-Jews. And then there's the approach that says, no, there's no inherent difference as much as it depends on how and what we do. And that's, again, presented oftentimes as a distinction between a Kuzari and a Rambam. When you learn the Kuzari and you learn more Rambams, you see they both have statements that have both sides of the coins. Learn, for example, the Rambam in his Igaris Teiman, and you'd think you're reading the Kuzari. And the Kuzari also has opposite statements. But to bring out the point more forcefully, you see in many, many thinkers that they're able to accept the notion that there's an inherent distinction. Let's presume that means a more spiritual distinction in terms of there being a different neshama to Klal Yisrael and Umos HaOlam. So there is an inherent distinction, but at the same time, that doesn't in any way imply that Umos HaOlam have no value, have no purpose, they're in no way denigrated. I'll just point out two more recent thinkers where you see this, but I think it could be equally proven in Rishonim. There's a famous Tiferes Yisrael. The Tiferes Yisrael, throughout his commentary, very often talks very positively about non-Jews. And I guess in 5 minutes we'll just get to the basic background of this and then we'll bring out the point. We all know that perhaps we could contrast two statements which reflect two different attitudes. And taken together, again, it's not a stira, but it just put together is something more complex. So we have the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Per Gimel Mishnah Yadalad, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, and Chaviv in Yisrael Shenikra Uvanim Lamakom. And the simple understanding of the Mishnah is Chaviv Adam is referring to all of humans, right? That great is mankind, that they're created B'Tzelem Elokim, and there's Chaviv in Yisrael, a special Chiba Yisera to Klal Yisrael, that are their Nikru Banim Lamakom. On the other hand, again, you saw this here in Yevamos, and similarly in Krisos, Kivrei Akum, according to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, are Eina Metamin. Why? Because the Pasuk says, V'atem Tzoni Tzon Marisi Adam Atem, Atem Kruyim Adam, V'ein Umos Ha'olam, V'ein Ovde Kochavim, Kruyim Adam. So how do you understand that? And how does that relate to the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos? So many say that the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos is not talking about Adam in the sense of Umos Ha'olam because of the Gemara and Yevamos. So for example, the Maharal on that Mishnah says, V'av shenem ar chaviv Adam shenivra b'tzelem, ein zek kolel kol min ha'adam, ki kvar amru, ki atem kuryim Adam, v'ein Umos Ha'olam kuryim Adam. And many point out the distinction of Tosos and Yevamos Rabbeinu Tam, that when it says Ha'adam, it refers to even Umos Ha'olam. When it says Adam, it's referring to Klal Yisrael specifically. So there are indeed many sources like this Maral. It said B'Shem De'ari that to some degree Umos Ha'olam are no longer B'Tzelem Elokim. That was true originally, but it changed throughout the Bechira. Many sources along these lines. They take the idea of Ein Umos Olam Kuryim Adam more broadly, not just a din in Hilchos Tumah and Tara. The Ravid in Shara Avos HaTumah Perek Beis Halacha Yud is an example of this. Others don't. They understand it more narrowly. So the Tiferes Yisrael, who admittedly is certainly not mainstream in this topic, so he writes in, again, Boaz, Avos Perek Gimel. First he says that, in the Yachin he says that you have to change the girsa of the Mishnah. It shouldn't say Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, it should say Chaviv Ha'adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, because clearly it's including Umos Ha'olam. And in light of Rabbeinu Tam, you have to say it's Ha'adam, because it doesn't make sense if it's referring exclusively to Klal Yisrael, because the next line compares Klal Yisrael, Chaviv and Yisrael, Shenikru Banim Lamakom. There's a comparison between Adam and Klal Yisrael, so according to Tosfos, you have to change the gears in the Mishnah from Adam to Ha'adam. And then in the Boaz there, he writes that D'miyamai niskashesi b'mamar shel Chazal b'yavamos. I've always been bothered by this statement in Yevamos. And he asks a number of questions. How could it be? They have B'Tzelem Elokim. V'su, D'im kein ma'zed d'ka'amar kudsha b'richu v'yisem li'skula mikol ha'amim. V'i kol ha'amim raka behemos ha'aretzema. If Umos Olam are kebehemos, so what's the mile of being a skula mikol ha'amim and a mamlechas kohanim? He picks up, he doesn't quote, but the same diuk that the Rabbi Avram ben Aramba makes and the Sforno makes, that if you're mamlechas kohanim, so you're kohanim to who? To monkeys? Of course not. That's how he says, how could you say that they're kebehemos? He says, V'hareza soser, l'may dekai melan, chaside Umos Olam, yeshlam chelak olam haba. The Gemara says, the Rishonim quote, that chaside Umos Olam, yeshlam chelak olam haba. If you're going to take the approach Kipshuta of Atem Kuyim Adam, Umos Ulam Kuyim Adam, they're behemos. So behemos don't have Olam Haba. Olam Haba reflects a tikkun of the highest sort, of Nitzchias of the Neshama. So how is it Shayach Olam Haba? And he says, fascinating, he says, V'hare Gam Lule Pekado Shal Razal. Even if Chazal didn't say that Umos Olam Yeshlam Chelak Olam Haba, if you want more Makoros on that, by the way, look back at the Mashiach source books, and there were much more on that. He says, even without that, obviously, Svar Pshuta tells me that Umos Olam have Olam Haba. Dare Tzadik Hashem B'chol Drachav, Chasid B'chol Masav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. And we see many, many Chasidei Umos Olam, and then he goes through all the great contributions to the world of Umos Olam, K'achasid Yanner, right, which is, of course, Edward Jenner, who made the vaccine for smallpox, look at how much lives he saved. And Ukedraka, which is Francis Drake, look how many lives he saved by bringing the kartoffel, which I assume is a potato, to Europe, and saving us from so many famines, and so on and so forth. And therefore, he concludes that Hayotze Midbarenu, Shema Shenikra Rak Yisrael Adam, Eino Lahem Shem Shel Shevach Kolkach, Rak Meid Aleim Shelohem Be'atzman Kolfu HaKlipa HaGasa Me'alev Atam. The notion of Atam Kriyam Adam isn't meant to be disparaging. Now, after all that, you'd think that he would think that, there's no inherent chiluk between Jews and non-Jews. But he himself very frequently builds that up in the Tiferes Yisrael on the first mission in Pekah Chelak. So he has an interesting deal. He says, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelak Olam Haba, Chutz Mi, and lists some exceptions. One of the exceptions, of course, is Bilam. Bilam isn't Jewish. So the Tiferes Yisrael is Medayik, that you see a Stam guy also is a Chelak in Olam Haba. So then what's different between Jews and non-Jews? It says, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelak Olam Haba. And his answer is because the difference is in the chotim, because the Jewish people, because of their higher neshama, they have a higher level of neshama, and that can never be separated. This goes back to what we talked about when we did Olam Haba, how there are five levels of neshama, and especially the two higher levels are always connected, without going into too much detail. Ein lanu esek b'nistaros ata, but the point is that there is an inherent difference between Kol Yisrael and Umos HaOlam. And that reflects itself in why Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelak LaOlam Haba, and there is a distinction between Kol Yisrael and Umos HaOlam. So the fact that we play up the distinction and we hold that there is an inherent distinction and there's a difference in the neshama of Kol Yisrael between the neshama of Umos HaOlam, all of that doesn't necessarily implies clearly that Tiferes Yisrael held that there's no makom for them, or that they can't achieve gedula in their own right, or that they don't have a chelak in Olam Haba, or that they should be disparaged, and all of that. You see the same idea very powerfully in Rav Kook. Rav Kook many times writes about the contribution that Umos HaOlam have to the world, that we have, that we, Klal Yisrael, have learned from Umos HaOlam, and yet, at the same time, he writes in Oros Yisrael Parakei Piska Yud, Hahevdel Shebein HaNeshama Yisraelis Atzmiyusa Me'avia HaPnimis Shifasa Trunasa V'amadisa Uvein Nishmas HaGayim Kulam L'chol Dargoseim Hu Yoser Gadol V'amok Me'ahevdel Shebein Nefesh HaAdam V'Nefesh HaBehema. So, in terms of the differences of their neshama and the like, it's huge. There is an inherent difference. But that doesn't imply that we don't have a responsibility towards them, and it doesn't imply that they can't achieve godless, and it doesn't imply that they can't even teach us and help us and contribute to us. And all of that, I think, reflects very, it's very well understood in light of the dichotomy that we said from the very beginning. Because there's two elements of our bechira. There's our Bechira in terms of banim, and there's our bechira in terms of being a spouse. The one last point, just to bring this out so beautifully. Earlier in the year, we talked about the very problematic psukim, the famous suffering servant prakim in Yeshayahu. And the psukim imply that Klal Yisrael is punished for the sins of the non-Jews. Achen chol yenu hu nosei, umachovenu hu savlam. Assuming we take the interpretation that's referring to Klal Yisrael, not Mashiach, which we said last time was Rov Rishonim, right? As Rashi says, miyusar haya biyisurin lios kol umos miskaprim biyisurein shel Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is punished for the sins of the Umos HaOlam. And the Radak says on Rashi, Hayitachin? How could that be? Why would Klal Yisrael, what type of vicarious punishment is this? Avos lo yumsu abanim, banim lo yumsu avos. How could Klal Yisrael be punished for the sins of the Umos HaOlam? So I saw a beautiful piece from Rav Shlomo Fisher on this in terms of to answer the kasha. And he says that there's two components of Klal Yisrael. One is the idea that we are perhaps the Bechor among the whole world, but we have a relationship with them and we have responsibility to them. We have to be Or Lagayim. Why would we be punished for the sins of the Umos HaOlam? Because we are responsible to them. We have to be the spiritual leaders. And if so, then if they sin, we're responsible. And at the same time, there's another component. And the other component is Hein Am Levadad Yishkon Uvagoyim Lo Yischashav, that we're not just the first among many, but we're totally separate. We're independent. And that component reflects the other notion of Bechira, and that's something in which we're totally different and in a different world. Both are true simultaneously. As complex as that is to understand, it's not a stira. They're both MS. Mm-hmm. Have a good Shabbos.